Good morning. As we continue through the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, we'll be dealing with Article Number 8 this week. Out of character for me, we're only going to look at one passage. If you want to go ahead and flip to it, it's 2 Peter chapter 1, and we'll get to that here in a moment towards the end of what I have to say, but you've got time to look it up now. So the affirmation part of Article Number 8 reads, "We affirm that God in his work of inspiration utilized the distinctive personalities and literary styles of the writers whom he had chosen and prepared." God used those unique individuals who authored the various books of the Bible. One way this is evident is that the different personalities of the four different authors can help to explain the differences in the gospel accounts. Each author emphasized different aspects of the same truths. We see biblical authors who were shepherds, fishermen, a doctor, at least two kings, and even a tax collector. These backgrounds would have affected their viewpoint of what they wrote. In addition, some were eyewitnesses of the events they recorded, while others were not. The difference in perspective may also have an impact on how a particular text of Scripture was written. Further, the cultural climate of the time would have also impacted how various texts were written. A Hebrew author writing during the time of King David would have had a different perspective than a prophet writing while the Israelites were in exile. Yet despite these varied backgrounds and the huge number of years that passed between the earliest book written and when the final book of the canon of Scripture was completed, there is a common and harmonized theme throughout Scripture. The only way to account for this consistency is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Scripture includes many different literary types. In broad terms, they include historical accounts, law, prophecy, poetry, wisdom, and personal letters. Some Bible commentators break the literary types down further into categories such as genealogy, hero stories, apocalyptic literature, and prose. Regardless of how you might break down the various literary types, together, the full text of Scripture forms a unified whole. Again, the only way to have such continuity is through the work of the Holy Spirit. In addressing the topic of inspiration, the ESV Study Bible offers the following explanation. The Bible is God-breathed and gets its true, authoritative, powerful, holy character from God Himself, who inspired human authors to write exactly what He wanted them to write. Instead of merely dictating words to them, God worked through their unique personalities and circumstances. Scripture is therefore both fully human and fully divine. It is both the testimony of men to God's revelation and divine revelation itself. Because the Bible is God's word in human form, it can be trusted as the definitive revelation from the mouth of God Himself. And let me restate that last part because I think I said it wrong. Because the Bible is God's word in human words, it can be trusted as a definitive revelation from the mouth of God Himself. God's word in human form, of course, was Christ Jesus Himself. I didn't mean to misspeak there. The second part of the article, we deny that God, in causing these writers to use the very words that He chose, overrode their personalities. When I have to give a deposition as part of my job, I sit in a room with at least two other attorneys, sometimes a videographer, and a court reporter. When the deposition is on the record, it is the court reporter's responsibility to accurately record everything that is said by the parties in the room. Now imagine there's more than one court reporter in the room. Whether each court reporter is a man or a woman, whether they are an extrovert or an introvert, whether they are a Christian or an atheist, should not matter. Their record of what is said should be identical. This is a situation where the author's personality has no bearing on what is recorded. As Dave Little taught us last week, we do not necessarily know fully exactly how inspiration occurred. However, I believe it is safe to say that the biblical authors were not court reporters simply recording what someone else said. Nor is there reason to believe that they were mechanically following commands similar to a robot. Joseph Smith claimed to have received golden plates from an angel named Moroni. These plates supposedly contained the text for the Book of Mormon, but were in a special language that no one knew how to read. Accounts vary on how the plates were read. Joseph Smith either used special glasses constructed to translate the stones for him as he looked at the plates, or he placed a stone inside of a top hat, and when he looked inside the hat, he would see the words in English, one at a time. In either case, he supposedly dictated the words off of the plates to others who then wrote them down, exactly as Joseph Smith said. Once again, we do not know necessarily exactly how inspiration occurred. However, I believe that it is safe to say that the biblical authors were not looking at golden plates inside of a top hat to figure out what should be written down. Nor did they have need for some kind of weird glasses when writing. Now, if you look at 2 Peter 1, 16 through 21, starting in verse 16, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.' And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The original Greek word that's been translated in that last phrase, "but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God," that's translated as "moved," means to be moved along or perhaps incited, which I would say is perhaps prompted into action. Might be a way that we may be able to view that today. And the word for "spoke" is a very common word in the New Testament, which means to declare. So if we look at that again, "but men were moved into action, were prompted into action by the Holy Spirit to declare the words from God." These verses from 2 Peter provide a summary of what we do know from Scripture about inspiration. It is not a matter of one's own interpretation. It was not made by an act of human will, but by men moved by the Holy Spirit who spoke from God. Let us pray. Lord, we're grateful to know that you have chosen to reveal yourself in your word. We may never understand the mysteries of that, how that occurred, but yet we know that we can put our faith and trust in your word. We know that it is holy and is inspired and is without flaw or defect. It explains everything that we need to know about this life and about salvation. I pray that we would never take for granted the fact that we have it, and may it be upon our hearts to learn it and to obey it. Amen.